In the Bible, God used common life experience to illustrate his relationship to all of us. For example, the Bible encourages us to address God as our Heavenly Father. He is like a father to us who takes care of us, gives us life to provide everything we need. He used sheep and shepherd to remind us, like Psalms 23, that we are like sheep, that we can follow the shepherd. God is our shepherd. But then sometimes as sheep, we sometimes gone astray. But the good shepherd always take care of the sheep and protect them. As we follow the shepherd, the good shepherd, we are satisfied. I shall not be in want. You know, following the shepherd, he provides us with everything. And then in the Old Testament also often talk about God as the owner of a vineyard, and his people Israel are the branches or the vines that he planted. In Israel, to set up a vineyard is not easy. The vines are very delicate. You have to first pick out the rocks, the stones in the field, so that it has a fertile soil, and then typically the owner would have to build up a fence to protect it from wild animals and also from robbers, and set up a watchtower, and then the fruit that the vineyard produces need to have a wine press. So all these are a lot of work for God as the owner of vineyard to prepare. His people are like the vines. But then in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, when he says, you know, when after all this, Israel, like the vines, produce bad fruit. You know, after all this, and God was very, very disappointed. And today's passage, God, Jesus, said he is the true vine. He added a little bit of a twist to it. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And the man and woman, the disciples, are the branches of the true vine. So the vine is not represents Israel. Rather than Jesus said, I am the only true vine, and all others, all disciples, all men and women, are the branches that attach to me. We are disciples of Jesus, are like branches that attach to Jesus. Jesus tied remaining in him, or some version of the Bible says abiding in him. And the fruitfulness that comes out of it as evidence of true discipleship. And also is the key to glorify God. So this, I want you, all of us, to think for yourself. The key thing is, am I connected to Jesus? Am I like the branches of the vine that is connected to this true source of life? Have I remained in him, abide in him? Is his word remains in you? So this is addressing to our inner life. You and I sitting here, I cannot tell how connected is your life connected to Jesus. Only you know. And today, when we talk about this year's theme, when we talk about making disciples, the first thing is we want to ask us, how is my life in following Jesus? How is my discipleship life? So this today we address the inside, the inner life of us. True discipleship is not based on how much you know. True disciples is not saying that, oh, what kind of doctrine you know about God, about Jesus, about the Bible. True disciple is not about how good you can do, you can serve, how good you can sing, lead worship, how good you can teach, how often you visit patients in the hospital, or how much you give or donate to the church, to charity. Rather, it is related to how your inner life is connected with Jesus. Jesus in this passage talk about be connected to me, remains in me, abide in me, and I will abide in you, remains in you. Jesus once visited a couple of sisters, Martha and Mary, together with his disciples. You know, so Jesus with 12 disciples going to their house, and then, wow, the two sisters was busy trying to entertain the Jesus and the disciples, and then Martha was very busy, running around, and then Mary just sit beside Jesus, listen to his words. And then Martha, after rushing around, dashing back and forth from the kitchen and in the living room, and just seeing her sister sitting there, listening to Jesus. And he becomes quite upset and asks Jesus, Jesus, can you just, don't you care? I'm the one who's sweating, you know. Can you tell Mary, you know, to help out? Well, you know, if you ask me honestly, as a pastor, I would actually rather have more Martha in the church. You know, who can help out and do ministry, do a lot of things. But Jesus doesn't say that, you know. Jesus did not say Martha is a bad person or Martha is not doing good work. But what Jesus says is, Martha, you worry about a lot of things, but Mary has chosen the better one. And that is the one she chose to sit beside Jesus and let Jesus minister her life with his word first. So Jesus cares about nurturing us, our inner life first, before we go out to serve him. So this is what the inner life of disciples, this is what this today's passage is reminding us. You know, Jesus cares about how our connectedness, our relationship is with him. So Mary has chosen what is better, and it cannot be taken from him. So here are some reflective questions. As I read this, I want you to contemplate on it. Do I take time for retreats to meet with God? These are questions that only you can answer, because it is relating to your inner life. Do I take time for personal retreat to meet with God? Do I sense God's presence daily? Do I know God as my shepherd and master? Trusting him for his guidance and obeying him as master of my life. Do I even know his will? Is my spirituality anchored by a strong prayer life? Everybody wants to be spiritual. I'm a spiritual person, but is my spiritual life, my spirituality anchored by a strong prayer life? It's not just praying over the meal. It's not just praying for someone who is sick. But am I praying to God often? Do I deal thoroughly with my sin in true and complete repentance? Only you know whether you sin against God and against other people. Do you deal with that in a true and complete manner in repentance? There's no sin that is too great that God cannot forgive. He says, Bible said, if we come to him and confess our sin, he's faithful and just and will forgive our sins. Do I thoroughly deal with what is sinful in our life? Do I have a Bible reading plan? Or is this something that reading the Bible is just something that whenever I have time? Do I intentionally want to read God's word? Outside in the lobby, Mrs. Wong every year prepare a booklet that you can keep track on your reading of the Bible, so that throughout completing it, you have a system of monitoring that through a year, you can complete the reading of the Bible once. Do you have a Bible reading plan? What books do you read? Or do you read books at all? Or are you just reading books assigned by the professor? What books you use to nourish your spiritual life? Do I have good friends in a loving relationship of accountability? So this is also important. Do you have someone established? You can call him or her a mentor, that you have an honest relationship with him or her. And this person, this mentor, can ask you questions of accountability. You give this person the right to ask you, to probe in your life. So these are the questions that address our inner life. And then the Apostle Paul, apply this principle of remaining in Christ in his life and ministry. And this is summarized in the second Bible verse that we read today in Galatians 2, verse 20. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul applied the principle of remaining in him. And this is the summary statement of his life. Edmund Chan said this verse speaks of three things in relation to Christ-centered discipleship. He says, from this verse, he talks about, first of all, our identity in Christ. This leads to living a distinct life. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. As Christians, our life is different from the life of all others. Our life is a renewed life. Our old self has been crucified with Christ, and we are a new creation. So our life is distinct from all others. Because of the death of Jesus, we have a new identity. The Bible called that many terms. We are children of God. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians talked about we are a new creation. And all this is because our life is joined together with the life of Jesus. Died, dead, buried, and in resurrection, and resurrected. We have a new identity. Because of this identity, we live a different life, a distinct life. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The second part, it addresses our imitation of Christ. This leads to living the directed life. Because Christ gave us a new life, our life now have direction. We have purpose, we have a goal. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Every disciple of Christ have a new life that gives us a direction. Our direction is we want to be more and more like Christ. This is the purpose, the goal, and the direction of our life, is to fulfill God's will. And finally, the third part is our indebtedness to Christ. And this gives us to living a devoted life. Who loved me, this Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. As Christians, if we are constantly touched by the love of Jesus, by his sacrifice, who gave himself for me, then it motivates ourselves so that we dedicate our life to you. Many of us are thankful of what our parents did for us. Okay? But imagine you have someone who died for you. How would you respond to this person? You know? And at the beginning of First Sunday, the Lord gave us the command to remain in him, to remind him, to remember him. And as we come to the Lord's table, we remind of Christ's sacrifice. So that leads us, this is the motivation. Serving Jesus should not be a hard, squeeze out burden. If we can be touched by the love and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, then serving him, living a devoted life should not be a burden. So this is what is summarized almost like the summary statement of Paul's life. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul wrote Galatians with the central theme that justification, that is, our righteous standing with God, is through faith in Christ Jesus and not through the law of Moses. Therefore, a lot of people criticize Paul and said, hey, Paul, you are talking about, you know, we don't have to follow the law of Moses anymore. You just talk about salvation by grace, faith in Christ Jesus. So a lot of people in Paul's time accuse him of anti-law. Theologians have a name for it. It's called antinomianism. That means that Paul is talking about don't have to follow the law, as if free for all type of morality. You can do anything. But Galatians 2:20 here is clearly indicated that Paul is living a Christ-centered life. Christ-centered life is a transformed life, holding on to the highest moral standard of Jesus Christ. And this is the inner life that we want to nurture as a disciple of Jesus. A follower of Jesus is a life that is connected with Jesus, remaining in him, abiding in him, and with Christ as a center, motivated by his sacrifice, and we live a life with a purpose, with a direction. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, to follow Jesus means self-renunciation and absolute adherence to him, and therefore a will dominated by lust can never be allowed to do what it likes, making us sell our heavenly birthright for a mesh of pottage. You know who he's talking about? He's talking about Esau, who just because of temporary desire to satisfy his stomach, he sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Is the cost of discipleship high? Jesus asks us to count the cost to follow Jesus. Is the cost of discipleship high? Yes, it is. The cost of following Jesus is high, because Jesus asks us to surrender ourselves, deny ourselves, pick up the cross to follow you. But look at it the other way. The cost of not following Jesus is even higher. Because Jesus says, you will lose your soul. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for giving up yourself for us so that we can have a new life in you. And you call us to be like branches attached to you, like the vine, of the vine, the true vine. We pray that our life will be a constant renewal of in you. Our life will be connected to you to gain nourishment, and our life will give fruits that glorify our Father in heaven. So this year, as we continue to reflect of your calling of every one of us to be your disciple, help us to continue to live out our connected life with you. Help us to go deeper to reach the incredible and imaginary source of grace and love and power that is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.